I always kind of feel like a guest preacher when I get called up and I get to shake the pastor's hand, and so special, amen. Well, I'm glad we get to be here again tonight. We had a quick trip, as Pastor said, over to Cooperstown this morning, and we did not get to see the Hall of Fame, sadly. I'm not that interested in baseball anyway, but we had a good trip. Praise the Lord. Thank you for your prayers. Got there and back safely. No trouble on the road except for coming into Rochester on 490 today. And so now that I had to go half out of my way, I'm really on their side. That just wins me over when they make your life harder. Yes. Anyway, but that happened today too. But praise the Lord that we're here tonight. Go in your Bibles with me to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. Lord began putting this message on my heart sometime last week, and I've just been adding more and more to it as I was studying, reading verses about it, and I was surprised just on the quantity. I thought that I would struggle maybe to find enough verses on the theme, because I had one or two that, you know, the Lord directed me to start preparing my message, and then it just kept going and going and going. Brother Rice, I'm getting nervous. We're not going to read them all. But there is a lot of verses in here. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. We'll read the passage. We'll pray, and then we'll get into the message tonight. Verse number 1. Philippians 4, verse number 1. I hope you're all there. Follow along, please. Therefore, my dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. We can see that Paul is talking to the church. He's talking to people that he cares about. He's talking to people that are special to him. And his prayer is for them that they would stand fast in the Lord. We see what names he gives them. His dearly beloved and his longed for. That, to me, reminds me of Anna Green Gables when she's being very dramatic in her words. But we know Paul is sincere in this, that he really loves the church. And they are his dearly beloved. They are the people that he loves. He calls them his joy and his crown. And what does he want them to do? So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. And he goes on to mention a couple people. I beseech Eudeus, I beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Once again, we see he's talking about Christians. Not just any Christians, but he's addressing people who were active in the ministry. People who were working and helping. Look at the titles he calls them. He calls them his yoke fellows. Carrying the burden with him. They just weren't there. They were working alongside Paul. He uses another phrase here. His fellow laborers. That's something I use in our mission letters. As we work together with churches. They're our fellow laborers. Once again, the idea of all of them working together. Involved in the ministry. People who are busy trying to serve the Lord. Verse number 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. I like how he says finally, but he goes on for quite a few more verses. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Let's pray before we get into the message here. Lord, I do thank you truly for another chance to be able to stand behind the pulpit and preach your word. Lord, I thank you for this call that you placed in my life, and I pray, Lord, now that you would speak through me. Lord, that these people would not hear more of me, but they would hear from you tonight. Lord, we live in a world that is contrary to you. Lord, we live in a time that's very busy. And Father, we need to take some time to think on you, to draw closer to you, to learn from you, and then to make sure we go out and do it. Please speak to hearts tonight. It's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, if you read through this passage, I'm sure a number of these verses you've heard before. You probably have a lot of them memorized. And if you're not careful, they can kind of stand out as individual thoughts. Because they're such good phrases and such good things to memorize. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And that's a little song we have too. How many of you know that verse by heart? If you didn't, you say it three more times, you'll have it by heart, amen? That's a nice easy one. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your request be made unto God. The one after, and the peace of God, we talk about that all the time, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You might even have verse 8 memorized. Maybe not in the right order, but you've got most of those things memorized. Amen? The big list of things that we should be thinking on. But right in the middle of this, it says there in verse number 6, be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. What does that mean? Kind of makes it sound like that we shouldn't care about anything. But we know that's not true. Because Scripture tells us to care for the lost, to care for our fellow brothers. We are supposed to care for things. But that's not the type of care he's talking about. When he says there in verse number 6, verse number 6, be careful for nothing, it doesn't mean you're supposed to be careless in your ministry, but you're not supposed to carry... There's a lot of C's. Carry your cares with you. Your worries. Your stress. And tonight I want to talk to you tonight, preach for a while on the idea of anxiety. Anxiety. That's not a word I heard much when I was growing up. And the generation before me maybe never heard of it. They don't even know. What is that? But you see it more and more and more. Anxiety. I'm anxious. It's even, you know, it's a medical thing now. You can have a condition of anxiety. It's, you might, what is, I don't know, that doesn't, it's kind of a reaction to stress that your body has. And it's different in people. Some people, you know, most people know the butterflies in your stomach, that little knot. That's just a little bit of what it is. Some people get so bad that their heart rate gets going. They can't breathe. Some people pass out. I mean, it could be pretty bad for some people, this idea of anxiety. It feels like walls are closing in around you, and this stress of life is just pushing you down, and you're helpless under it. Some people talking about their anxiety causes the anxiety. It's true. And it's hard for people who don't experience it to identify with it. And I don't feel like I am a very anxious person most of the time. I don't feel like it's something, I know we have stress in our lives, and that's some of what we do to say that's not me. You just maybe have different levels of it, and you call it by a different word. It's not anxiety, I'm just concerned. I'm not anxious, I'm just a little worried. I'm not worried, I'm a little stressed. I'm not stressed, it's just a little scared of that. I'm not scared, I'm just nervous, just a little nervous. And we have different words that all kind of tie together under the same idea. That a situation, an outside situation, is coming in and quenching your spirit in some way. And it has power over your spirit. Now, those who don't have it, like I said, it's hard to identify with. And it's easy to throw out phrases like, come on, get a grip, toughen up, it'll pass, what's your big deal? And you don't really understand what's going on. Now, we have to be careful, because there's things in your life that other people don't identify with either. Somebody who's grumpy all the time, it doesn't work to say, cheer up. Oh, suddenly now I'm happy. Thank you very much. You say to someone who's stressed out of their mind, calm down. They're not going to do anything. And you say to someone who's impatient, just wait a minute. It's not that easy to just say the phrase and suddenly... Just because some people are incredibly patient. They never seem to raise their voice. They always seem to just take things in stride. And some people struggle with that. So you might say, this isn't for me, this message about stress and anxiety and fear. Maybe not to a grand extent, but I'm sure each one of us has some level of it in our lives. Where situations that are happening around us cause stress, and then it quenches and has control over your spirit. Just today, I left Cooperstown, and I'm preaching out of my little Bible. You know why? Because my big Bible's sitting under a pavilion at a church in Cooperstown. I called the pastor. He has it. He's going to mail it back. But you know what I felt when I asked my son, "Son, did you grab my Bible?" No. And it's the same church my wife left her Bible at years ago when we were on the mission field. So I'm glad we're not getting support from them anymore. Amen. We're looking for fix up the bus to get it inspected and be able to use it. This Thursday. I ordered some pieces to help fix it a couple months ago. Now it's time. It's got to get done now. I couldn't find them. What does that do? Now, I'm not lying on the floor struggling to breathe. Some people, it gets that far. But you still have that stress in your life. Fortunately, I asked Mrs. Huber. She dug them out of the kitchen. We got them. Amen? She just knows what garbage pile to look through where I leave. I pile stuff on that kitchen counter. It's just my personal office is that kitchen when you walk into the left. That's my section. You'll see cans of Kickstart, my keys, my Bible. That's my thing over there. And I leave stuff there all the time. But she found it for me. Oh, good. That takes the stress out. Now, everybody who experiences stress, anxiety, wants verse number 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Anyone who has any level of stress, panic, worries, nervousness in their life wants verse number 7. That's what I want my life to be. I want the peace of God that passeth all understanding to keep me. And I don't want to feel this way. But how do we get there? How do you get from being overwhelmed by an emotion to then saying, "I have the peace of God in my heart"? I wish it was easy as saying 1, 2, 3, and your problems are all solved. But it's not. But before we get into some practical things we can try to do, we're going to look at some scripture. And I got some statements here. And the first is that everyone experiences this. So don't think that's not me. You might not be as bad as others, but everyone experiences some level of stress in their life. The second fact is that it's not your challenges that cause it. It's how you respond to those situations that cause it. You see, everyone in life has different challenges, different trials, some from God, some self-inflicted, but everyone is going to experience problems. People who have the peace of God, people who can claim verse number 7, can't claim it because their life is perfect. If I can say I have the peace of God in my life, it doesn't mean you're going to look at my life and see no troubles. That's not what we're looking for. So when you're looking to try to eliminate anxiety and stress and worry from your life, don't try to get rid of all the problems, because you're not going to. God brings trials in our lives. You're not going to tell Him to stop and He's going to listen to you. There's going to be problems, but we need to learn how to deal with them according to Scripture. What does the Bible say? The third fact is that it is sinful. This is hard to swallow. Worry is not biblical. Anxiety is not biblical. Stress in your life is not biblical. God does not want you to feel overwhelmed. God does not want you to feel panicked. God does not want you to feel like the world has control over you. Get a little quiet. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. What does God want you to do with those cares? Let them crush you? Weigh down your spirit? No, He says, cast them upon Me. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." What's God's will for your life? Rest. Pastor, you just don't understand my situation. It's not the situation. It's your relationship and walk with God that determines if you can have peace in that situation or if it's going to crush you. God does not want you to live a life of anxiety and stress and worry. If it's against Scripture, it has to be sin. And it is against Scripture. Now, I understand some people, like we said, are going to have a harder time with this. And you could get on to some topics. I'm waiting for God to make me preach on gluttony, Brother Rice. Because why? I like a little bit too much extra cheese on my cheeseburgers and one extra than I need. Does that mean I shouldn't preach on it or it's not a sin? No. Just because you're prone to worry or anxiety doesn't mean it's not a sin. It's not how God wants you to live. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Listen to this phrase. Does this not describe someone with anxiety? Because fear hath torment. That's what it is. It's emotional torment that comes with fear. But there is no fear in love. Perfect love casteth out fear. That's the will of God for your life. Because fear hath torment. You might want to write some of these verses down. They're going to be a blessing to you. And if you don't, get on your computer, Google, search your concordance. I use the internet now to search Bibles. I rarely get out the big concordance anymore. Look up fear. Look up peace. Look up worry. Look up these words in your Bible. And like I said, you're going to see verse after verse after verse. Old Testament and New, the Bible's full of them. Why? Because God understands that our reaction to problems is to get and to let them overwhelm us and try to take them on ourselves. And He says that's not the way it's supposed to be. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. John 14:1 tells us, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. Let not your heart be troubled. Luke 12 and Matthew 6 both talk about taking no thought for your raiment, for your food, for your body. And the list even starts with the most important or most critical. Take no thought for your life. Woo! That's a hard one to swallow. Don't even think about your life. That's what Jesus is telling us. Colossians 3, verse number 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. I like that one. Rule. It is not in there somewhere buried. The peace of God is supposed to be supreme in your heart. It should be controlling just about everything else that's happening in your heart. The peace of God. To the which ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. We're going to talk about that idea here in a second. Look, I'm already halfway through. Be ye thankful. Part of what helps you overcome anxiety is thankfulness. Thankfulness. We'll get to that in a second, though. We go to the Old Testament a little bit. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of My righteousness. Say, that's for Israel. Yeah, but it is our God, amen? And we are His people. A song that we sing sometimes, Isaiah 43:1-2. We just sang it at camp. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Maybe we'll sing that after church tonight. That's a good one. He says, for I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Fear not. That reminds me of the New Testament. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Just as Israel was chosen, we are bought with a price. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. The New Testament tells us, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We get that promise from God. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. So a verse in the New Testament tells us, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. There's no reason, there's no excuse to let our challenges, our trials, our problems overwhelm us. It ends with, for I am the Lord thy God. We have another promise from Christ. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Christ promises He's with us. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter. Hold your hand here in Philippians. We're going to come back when we finish up, but go to Jeremiah chapter number 17. These are good. These are some good verses here in Jeremiah. Isaiah, Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter number 17, verse number 7. Make sure you pay attention to these ones. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope, where is it? The Lord is. Our hope has to be in God. When you hope in your own strength, you're going to get overwhelmed because you're not strong enough. If you hope in the money you've saved up, it's going to run out. If you hope in the amount of studying I've done, the amount of knowledge I have, there's going to come a problem you can't solve your way around. Your hope needs to be in the Lord. It goes on to say in the next verse, verse number 8, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. Think of that. If we're talking about stress and anxiety and problems in your life, this tree that's planted, and we know the symbolism there, being planted in the Word of God, being your roots going into God, being firm in His doctrines and in His truths, what's going to happen when the heat comes? Nothing. It's going to stand strong because it's grounded in the Word of God. It's grounded in God. When the heat cometh, let's go read that verse again. And shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. I like this because it tells us that there's going to be a time of drought. There's going to be time when it's a heat wave. And we just, the Rodells gave us some plants. Where are the Rodells? You're in here somewhere. You gave us those, what, the tomatoes and all that nasty stuff. Couldn't give me a pound of bacon. No, but that goes back to my gluttony problem. Amen. Amen. And we got those plants a little late. And not her fault, our fault to get the garden going and stuff. And she gave us some extra plants. We planted them. And then it was like immediately that week is when it was 90. You should have seen those poor things. They were as wilted. It's like you tell a little kid to clean their room, you know how they just go. That's how they looked. Just no life in them. Gone. What happened? They weren't strong yet. Now, they came back with some water. Yesterday, I looked, they were doing pretty good, right? They're doing pretty good. And they're coming back, but they took a little more extra time and energy and care to get back. Sadly, so many Christians who've been saved for a very long time, who know their Bible pretty good, still have shallow roots. And when the heat comes, and when the drought comes, and the problems come, and the attacks come, and the stress comes, and there's a health problem, the kids are acting up, the car's broken, and your boss wants you to work overtime when you planned a family thing, and all of a sudden just crushed. God does not want that. It goes on to say, neither, the last part, be not careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. I've heard this, and I'm sure Pastor Russo's heard it. I just can't right now, Pastor. Can you help with this? I just can't right now, Pastor. Can you do this? Are you reading your Bible? I just don't have time. Can you pray? Are you going to give the missions? I just can't. They only want to yield fruit when there's rain and a nice steady breeze and there's a little bit of clouds covering the sun now and then. Then they're good. God wants to see us always yielding fruit. Whether it's a drought and a heat wave or whether it's sunny and awesome and life is perfect, we should always be yielding fruit. It goes on to say, verse number 9, a verse we're familiar with, but tied into this idea we're talking about. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, we know the answer in the next verse. The Lord knows it. God knows the heart. He tries the reins. But what does your heart tell you when the drought comes? It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Your heart says to you, you can't. Your heart says to you, this is too much. Your heart says to you, turn around and go back. Your heart says to you, give up. Your heart says to you, oh no, you need some medication. Your heart says to you over and over and over, your heart is lying to you. It is deceitful and desperately wicked. It tells you, you can't. Now we know in our own strength we cannot. But your heart, that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, is not pointing you to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not grounding you in Scripture. It's not grounding you in God. It's not strengthening your faith. It's not strengthening your prayer life. It's telling you, stop, give up, go back. It's too much. It's too hard. And those are the things we need to push through in order to grow and be stronger. Let's go back to Philippians chapter number 6. Chapter number 4. I want to read verse number 6. Philippians chapter number 4. Let's read verse number 5 and 6 again. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Another fact is that God doesn't want us to live in anxiety. We've been talking about that. What does God want you to show to all men? What's the word the Bible uses there? Moderation. Moderation, especially in this context, is a balance of your emotions. We don't need to see people who I get silly sometimes, and I overdo it just a little bit, Pastor Russo. Not very often, but once in a while. Bring it down a little. And then sometimes you just, I got to do what? Moderate. Let's bring it up a little. You could probably think of people and yourself, more importantly, when you were not moderate in your spirit. You were not in control of your spirit. What was outside was affecting you more than you were controlling. I'm talking to one of my children now about controlling your emotions. When something goes wrong, your sister accidentally or purposely bumps you on the head like this, the appropriate reaction is not, why did you do that? That's not. You think I'm over-exaggerating. Mm-mm. The appropriate reaction is not that. That is not moderate. That's not moderating your emotions. That's not being in control. Does that mean everything's perfect? No. But what are all men supposed to see when they think about you? That's a moderate person. Think of that when you think of your testimony. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Men are supposed to see you and know they are not stressed out. They are not overwhelmed. They are in control of the situation, or themselves. You can't control the situation, but you can control yourself. That's what people should see. Why? Because you're perfect. No, because we have God on our side. Let your moderation be known unto all men. And he throws it right at the end. The Lord is at hand. When you need God, where is he? He's right here. He's at hand. When it feels like things are getting too high, you're crashing low, sides are crushing in on you, the Lord is at hand. He is there with you, waiting for you. Some practical steps to help with anxiety. First off, limit the excess in your life. A lot of stress we bring into our lives is of our own doing. Verse number, we didn't get that far, but look at the same chapter, same context. Look at verse number 11. We talked about this last week. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. He is moderate in every situation. How to abound, how to live in poverty. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Once again, we like to pull these verses out. But what is Paul talking about here? Not having care. That's stress. Being moderate in your life. Part of that starts with what we bring into our life. Parents, you are under a lot of pressure to be the perfect parent. And unfortunately, the perfect parent that the world is pushing is pretty far from the perfect parent. You know what you need to do? This is Roy Seatman, Parenting Lessons 101. Because this is what God told me, and I'm working on it with my own kids. Just spend some time with your kids. Make sure they know you love them. You're going to go out and do something, bring one of them with you. Does that mean they have to be part of every sports team the community has? No. Does that mean they have to have the nicest clothes so everyone in school thinks, wow, that's vain, look at those sneakers? No. Does that mean they have to have the biggest birthday party when they turn? No. That's what the world is saying you need if you're going to be a good parent. They need the latest electronic game system in their house? No. That's adding stress into your life you might not be able to handle. If you can carry that load, God bless you. If you can't, it's time to cut some out, because God does not want you living in that kind of stress and panic in your life. If there's not a moment in your day to sit down and breathe for a second, you got too much. See what God wants there and see what you're adding in. And that doesn't mean you can get rid of some kids, Brother Odell. You got to keep them all. It's too late. It's too late. You got them. Remember, Matthew chapter 6 told us to take no thought of what you shall wear, what you eat, what you're going to drink. And so much of our day is consumed about those things. How am I going to pay for? How am I going to buy? When can I get? What? And that's adding extra into your life that you might not need. Number two, get around positive spiritual people and conversation. Verse number 8, let's read it again. This is all here in this chapter. I'm not just making these points up out of thin air. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what? Think on these things. You want to be moderate? You want to get that care out of your life? Think on these things. Talk about these things. Spend time with people who live around these things. I've been at the table of gossip, and it is fun. I've eaten plenty of meals of criticism, and some of them I've served. I've been the one inviting people and starting conversations that weren't right. Because it's easy. It makes you feel good for a minute. But it doesn't lead to anything good. If you find yourself around people that when you leave, man, you've got a bitter spirit, you've got more anxiety, you've got more pressure, you've got more stress, something you thought was a blessing in your life, now you think, oh, it's so horrible because this person just trashing everything that's around them. Or it's yourself. Sometimes your mind is the one who's telling you these things. Think on these things. Proverbs 12:25 says, heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Heaviness in the heart of a man, it crushes the man. I watch some every once in a while, these survival shows. You know, Bear Grylls was a big famous one. And now they turn them more into game shows. So they had one called Alone. And I saw a couple episodes of that. And they take these people. Have you seen this? Oh, good. They take these people who apply, they're survivalists, they have to prove they have some skills. And I don't remember, I think this was in Patagonia, which is South America, pretty intense place to be. And they put them, as the name of the show would suggest, alone. They give them the camera equipment, they're filming themselves, and they have to pick a number of items out of a list, and that's all they can bring, so many items from this list, and they have to survive. Last one alive. Last one who doesn't quit wins. Say, ooh. And they get some pretty hardcore guys. And one, I remember this one episode, I only saw part of one or two seasons or something. I don't remember. I haven't seen them all. And he gets out there, army dude bragging, yeah, within 4 hours, come get me. What? You know who almost won that season? Some hippie girl. She built this bamboo hut talking about the spirit of the earth, and why? Why? She had what Proverbs says, the heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it stoop. The devil can crush a strong man or woman if their heart is heavy. just in an instant. Done. Done. These people work and apply and are showing their skills and put in applications and hope this is the year I'm going to get out there talking big. Oh, I'm going to make it. I got all these plans. Within a day, many of them quit because it's heaviness. Not what's around them. They could handle that. They gave up in here. And this girl who you thought, the first time you saw her, oh, this is a joke, right? Almost got to the end. She just one day had food, had water, just says, I feel like I've completed my journey, I think is what she said. Total whack job. But you know what? She had a good word in her heart. You know what people are going to say when they look at you and you got a smile on your face? Well, to them it looks like your world is crumbling. What a wacko. Because what does the scripture tell us in Philippians? A peace that what? Passeth all understanding. It's not going to make sense. You might not even be able to explain it. But when God gives you peace, you have true peace. The last point is, call out and get close to God. Minimize the stress in your life. That's you, practical. See what you can do. Second of all, change your circle. Get around people. Get around the Word of God. Get around people who are focused on spiritual things, who emphasize this verse number 8 in their life. And thirdly, call out and get close to God. This is the most important out of all of them. All these verses are based in the Lord. The Lord is our rock. The Lord is our hope. The Lord is our... The Lord. You need God. And as much as it seems, it might not help in the moment. That's when you need your faith. And you need to decide, I'm going to call out to God. Psalms 56, verse 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Fear is just another word that describes the same situation. I will trust in thee. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 11. I quoted this a little earlier, but I want to read it. These are excellent verses. Ones you're familiar with, but are so precious. Call out for help. Matthew chapter 11. Let's go to the end of the chapter. Look at verse number 28. Come unto me. What does Christ say? Come unto me. Who's he talking to? The carefree? Not in that way. He's talking to ones with burdens. He says, come to me. Christ is calling out, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. We know he's not looking at people that are carrying 80,000 pounds on their back. Now, my dad has always been a fan of the small trucks. The tiny ones. The Rangers, the S-10s, the little ones. I remember one day getting stoned with him, and he's bringing, I don't even think I went, it was just there at the house. I was probably watching him inside. And the back of the truck looks like this. And you're going down, and you think, that thing's going to snap. Because that's not made to carry that much weight. And I thought, man, that's the most I'm ever going to see in a truck, until I got to Mexico. Those guys know how to pack some weight, and they even have smaller trucks than those. They've got the Chevy Tornado. Never seen it here. They got all these, there's a Volkswagen, a Ford, they're even smaller than the Ranger and S10, next size down. It's like a car that they just put a bed on. And they are tiny. And guys are using them full of cement, bricks, and you see, and they're going over speed bumps everywhere in Mexico. You see that thing go up and you're expecting when it comes down, just bam, going to the ground. It's not made to carry that much weight. It can for a little bit, but you don't want to buy one of those secondhand. We've become accustomed to carrying way more weight than we're supposed to have, emotionally and spiritually speaking. God doesn't want you to carry all that. He's called you, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. That goes to that moderation. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. Not physical rest. Not just take it easy, it's retirement time. No, where rest really counts. In your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I remember Lydia climbing a tree in my dad's yard. I wasn't there. I got told the story. She disappears for a little bit. There's a willow tree in the front yard. And she gets up there. She uses a little branch to get up high. And then it broke, right? On the way down, she couldn't reach it. No one near. She's out there just screaming for help. Eventually, someone heard, got a ladder. We come, saved her, saved the day. And you think, man, what to do when you're in trouble? You call out for help. And if you think she's silly, I went to the Grand Canyon with Pastor Huber. We went out to see Brother Dutton's church. We're praying, do I go to the mission field? Do we go to be a teen pastor? That's what he was looking for out there. And we're, you know, praying about God's will. What's the next step in our life? So we go out together and takes us to Grand Canyon. We're out there and we don't stay back. No, you can't do that. You got to get over to the edge, right? If you're going to go to the Grand Canyon, you got to see down into the canyon. Mr. Rodal, you've got to. And so, but it's like this pulpit. And there's this thing that sticks out down the aisle. And we're going to go out there. Oh, yeah, let's do that. I'm not crazy afraid of heights. I like roller coasters. I like all that kind of stuff. I'd climb. I was up in the bell tower earlier this year. I don't mind that stuff when there's something to hang on to. We got out there, and the rocks that are in the middle, we're walking along, like around them. There's a column that ran down the middle. It gets lower and lower and lower. And pretty soon, I'm standing, and we're pretty close. And I'm like, whoa! So what do? I put a death grip on Pastor Huber. If I'm going over. And in that moment, he was stable. He was the rock. He was the strong one. Amen? And I had him. And I'm like, well, he's like, what are you doing? I can't help it. My body's just, it can't handle this. I'm just, whoa! And quick, we get a, Brother Dutton was, he was smart. He stayed back on the ledge. And we have the picture somewhere. Someone's got to have it. Of us standing out there. And inwardly, I'm like, I'm going to die. Man, life can hit you like that. And remember, this isn't just an accident. There is a design, an evil design at work. The Bible talks about, I got to preach a little bit this morning, about those evil seducers waxing worse and worse, the principalities and powers. Our life system, this materialism, the stress that's in your life, it's not by accident. There's an enemy. And he's just found a different way to get people who should be blessed and content and happy and serving the Lord to get burdened down with stress and worry and anxiety. God does not want that in our lives. Turn to him. Call out vocally. Don't be scared. Now, if you're in the middle of work, and your boss is standing there, you don't might want to cry, oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. You might not want to do that. But if you're alone and you're studying or you've got, you know, something's pressuring you down, the kids are just being a little extra crazy today, retreat to the closet and say, Lord, help me. Call out to God. It's not a joke. It's serious. That's what the Psalms are filled with. You see David doing this all the time. His enemies are closing in. He calls out to God. Remember that message Brother Barnhouse preached a while back here? If you were here for that Wednesday night. And it was good just talking about that, overcoming fear and calling out to God. He comes down on the wind. Remember that? God's coming down on the wind to get you in the middle of your trouble. Sing. Man, we just sang some good songs tonight. I don't know where the song list is. They all got stolen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Brother Rice turned into songs. I said, man, these are great for tonight's message. I didn't tell him what I was preaching. Tell it to Jesus. Oh, soul, are you weary? There's a lot of people who need to tell it to Jesus. Call out, sing, pray, think on his promises. Maybe you wrote down some of these verses. Memorize a few. Go back and read them. Write it down. Keep it in your purse on a flashcard if it's something you struggle with, or in your wallet. Get serious about it. If you do nothing, you'll continue to live in fear and anxiety and stress and worry. It'll have victory in your life. Verse number 5, let's go back, we'll finish. I think I've said that 4 times now. This time we are going to finish. We pointed this out in verse number 5 of Philippians 4. The Lord is where? The Lord is at hand. He's there waiting for us to call out to him. And we reminded of that in verse number 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. Look at this last part. And the God of peace. What a title for God. He wants you to have peace. He is the God of peace, shall be with you. You are not alone. You're never alone. If you're saved here, God is with you, waiting at hand for you to call out. Go to Him. God wants to see fruitful Christians, not ones who are crushed under the weight of anxiety and stress and worry. Pastor, would you come close out the service?